I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
That's why I ended up at Target yesterday and had a celebrity sighting.
Oh, okay. Who'd you see?
Johnny Cakes Allville.
Nice.
Yeah. We met up at the Target in the G-Burg. Went to go get Starbucks. Saw JP and two of his kids there.
This is after our big lunch?
Yes.
After our big lunch down at Rare Steakhouse in D.C.?
Correct.
Which I think we all can agree, we were stuffed. When we left there,
couldn't
right?
Couldn't have been more stuffed.
I actually couldn't believe I was having a little bit of a pretzel at Target.
I couldn't believe you were, too.
Well, I got popcorn for Dylan. Dylan wanted popcorn. We just went there, and you know they have some books and DVDs and got some stuff for Isabella, and Dylan ended up getting a Black Panther book.
Right.
And then, you know, they've got a nice little snack bar there. Do they have Pizza Hut pizza?
I think they have Pizza Hut pizza. Of course, hot pretzels. Slushies or ices. I mean, just everything a kid or a grown adult could love.
Right. So,
and a Starbucks.
You know, my baby daughter's, well, she'll turn two in March. Can't really give her popcorn, which is what Dylan got. So I just got a pretzel to give her some bites. And it's right there. So, of course, I'm going to have some bites even though I was full.
Yeah, you're going to grasp.
I did not eat dinner last night. Didn't have one.
I had a very small dinner.
Did anyone eat anything afterwards?
I had one chocolate chip cookie.
I made myself a salad.
I had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And then, because I just discovered it in the freezer, and apparently it's been a while that it's been there, and I have no self-control, we have not Klondike bars. I mean, they are Klondike bars, but it's Klondike / Reese's.
Oh, that's delicious.
Which is like my perfect combination, but they're mini.
Mm-hmm.
So I had one of those minis right before bed. Well, I mean, I know they say that's like the worst thing you can do.
Right.
I literally had it as I headed upstairs.
I've been eating a lot late at night, which is bad. But I did want to say, so we get to Rare Steakhouse. We all drove there separately, I think, for the most part. Some people came, I guess.
What'd you pay for your garage? I paid $25.
I paid $25, yeah.
I paid $12.95 because your boy went to Spot Hero and reserved it first.
Well, you're smart.
Right. Yeah. You did a good job,
paid
Cakes.
$20.
Cakes, you win.
$25 for me.
But it was, you know, it was cool. We were kind of dreading, like, waiting around and everything. But it's nice to go. Let's be honest. At the end of the day, it's nice to go to a nice steakhouse, something like that.
Oh, it was a great place.
Right? Absolutely.
And
I mean, the food
good
was
company.
Really good.
Phil was awesome. Phil, our GM, regaled us with some stories.
He did.
From all of his years working for Entercom and CBS and back in the HFS days. And
you know, radio
it was
insider.
A nice little get-to-know session. I enjoyed it. I really got a kick out of just sort of watching how some of us were reacting, especially like Adam. Adam just sat there like a lump.
Well, he was also in he shouldn't have probably been.
He was
been
way
in.
Too close to the GM.
Because Phil was on the end.
Yeah.
And Jason came in and sat directly across from him. And then AWOD is posted up in the seat directly to the left of Jason. So he's kind of in a hot
seat. Which, by the way, Jason is a professional schmoozer.
Right.
Right. Jason,
I mean,
he's
just so silly interaction.
Yeah, he can handle it. I mean, he's carrying the conversation with Phil like 80%+ of the
he's
time.
He's a pro.
Well, I mean, you can't sit across from the boss and not say anything.
Of course.
No, you did. Yeah. Fine job, of course.
It's small talk.
But Adam just sat there, and I'm not sure the kid uttered a word. I mean, he didn't know what to say.
That's the best version of Adam.
Yeah, well, I don't mind talking to
him. It was awkward for a while.
He was also, his posture.
Posture.
I'm not one to say I have great posture, but I think I sit relatively upright. Like, I present myself okay.
I feel like you were making a point, too. I actually looked at you at one point, and you were like this.
I don't know. I just, because a lot of times, like in here, I always feel like I'm hunched over.
Me too.
So, like out in public, I don't want to look like a hunchback.
Yeah.
At one point, Adam, I think, is while he's eating his food, is sitting like this.
That's exactly.
He's back in his chair like
that's
this.
That's exactly how he's eating.
Or he has his elbows on the table. Either
he
one.
Definitely did that,
I'm guilty
too.
Of that. I'm guilty of that. I put my elbows up. But he,
it was striking.
He was sitting like this. This is how he was eating. I'm like, I've never seen anything like it, man. And then, but Valdez was so Valdez got all dressed up, you know, for him. Valdez, I know he looks he's like me, he never dresses up.
This is Matt Valdez.
And, he's like he showered, like right. He made.
Yeah, I saw him.
He's gonna work out in like. Right
before. No. I went down after I did my work here. I just went down and showered. I wanted to make sure I didn't have any dandruff.
Right. Yeah. I saw him meticulously gelling up his hair.
Yeah, gel up my hair.
You can tell.
Oh, very nice. Like he was in front of the mirror for a good 30 seconds, which to me is a long time. Just. Playing with his hair.
Hey, I'm going out for dinner and not using a mallet. I have to dress up.
Right. I mean, when he sat down, he had this big grin. He was so happy.
I was butt sized.
At one point, I looked over to Drabby and I said, I think he's going to make in his pants. Like, the silly.
Well, you know
number
what?
Number three.
I figured out why I get so sized.
Yeah. I've never seen a guy so
excited.
It's a good
theory. It makes sense.
Right. I get so psyched because in the 8 or 9 years me and Laura have been together, she's made me food twice.
Right.
So anytime I can be catered to.
Right.
And someone can make you a great meal.
Yeah.
You don't get like that when you and Laura go out to eat.
No, but I'm always paying for the dinner and everything. And I felt like a hot chick. I felt like I was a big, silly, hot chick, and I had the 4D jugs.
Yeah. Well, you look like it. Because he was so excited.
What did you end up getting?
He looked at the menu for 5 hours before we got there.
I got a steak topped with foie gras.
Right.
Right.
Which, by the way, the foie gras, I hope I'm saying that right, was $28.
The topping.
The topper.
Yeah, it's just the topping.
The top of the steak was $28. Usually, you'll put like sauce or some mushrooms on my steak. It's like $5, $7. This is $28.
Phil said, get whatever you want.
He did.
Don't care what the cost
That's
is.
True.
He said, have any cocktails you want, now, drink whatever you want.
That doesn't mean you necessarily have to order a $28 topper, but more power to you. I'm glad you did.
The Valdez ordered a $20 glass of wine and then told Phil to his face that it was too sweet.
I did. Did you?
No, that was directed toward Jason.
I thought it was great. It was a French Pinot Noir.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I said, what kind did you get? I
said, it's the Mikulski.
Yeah.
And then I said, it's a little sweet. Because I didn't want him to get it and go, ooh, this is I expected.
I loved it. I had one.
Yeah. It's a Barbara.
I used that thing at the table and it just got fell on deaf ears.
It was the only, I chose it because I knew what Mikulski was and I could pronounce it.
Right.
It was a Barbara. So, that was great. I mean, the meal was so good. I felt like I had too much to eat. Too many calories, so I just shut it down the rest of the day.
A lot of people
got dessert. I'm always...
I got dessert.
We all got dessert. Why not?
Everybody got dessert.
My dessert was cappuccino. I just couldn't get like a key lime pie.
No. This is what I always tell my buddies. If you know you're going out to a really nice place, nice restaurant...
Enjoy it.
And someone's footing the bill, you pound the check.
Right.
You pound it hard.
That was a heavy check.
Yeah, it was four figures.
Yeah, but
CK had to pick it up.
But I thought it was actually... Not bad, considering all the guys.
For nine people?
Not bad at all.
I mean, it's expensive, but it's not outrageous.
Oh, yeah. It's not outrageous.
It's not like people were ordering $100 after dinner drinks.
Yeah.
You know,
it was
like
basically $1,000, which, you know, probably
usually,
tip $1,100,
Like a standard business group of nine men, would go way above $1,000.
Right.
I think you could easily.
If the company was paying for it.
I think you could easily.
I felt like Mad Men eating a steak.
Draft T-shirt was going kind of hard with two glasses of hard cider. I was kidding.
Enjoy the cider.
Copping that up.
Should have studied the menu a little harder because I panicked and got a ribeye. Forgot that comes with a bunch of fat.
Right.
Wasn't sized.
It's a little fattier
cut. Eating the gristle off my plate.
Yeah.
Who was eating the gristle?
Anyone.
Drab had these pieces cut up with a little bit of steak and a lot of fat and gristle.
Yeah.
And then he was kind of spooning them over to Adam.
Right.
And what do you think Adam was doing? Shoveling them in his face.
And by the way, no big surprise that, you know, in between the courses, one of the wait staff comes over with the fancy little tool to clean up the crumbs that are on the table.
Yeah.
I mean, A1 had a mountain of crumbs in front of him. I think it was like
another meal.
It took him the most time in front of A1.
So well, their great. Bread was amazing, too.
It was very good.
Everything was good.
So highly recommend. Rare.
No complaints. Awesome food. Just had a really, really good time. How many drinks did Adam end up having? Did Adam have two?
I had one Old Fashioned with Maker's Mark and then two Diet Pepsis afterwards.
All right, good. You handled yourself well. You offered nothing, but you handled yourself well.
I actually think I was better in interactions with Phil than Valdez. I think we had a good back and forth at one point. Phil was butt-sized for college basketball at one point, talking all about March Madness with Lurch.
At one point, he got a little bit into some college hoops.
You know what Adam's question was to Phil?
Yeah.
This is how dumb this guy is. He said, how come the Wizards aren't on a different channel than NBC Sports Washington?
Oh, that's right. He did bring that up.
Like, you don't understand, like, the rights fees and the way all that right, stuff like, works?
No, the way I worded it was...
No, Ted owns part of the station.
Owns NBC Sports Washington.
I said, Phil, let me ask you this. Why isn't there a competitor to doing Wizards programming? Not the play-by-play, but just
what would the competition be?
Masson? I don't know.
What would they broadcast?
What do you want? I want two donks in a room discussing the Wizards. Because so they get a zero share.
So that's your counter program.
That's
the
what he said.
Wizards
that's
game?
I learned.
Is that what he said?
He said it would get a zero share. Yeah, exactly. So I asked a pretty good question. And I got a good answer.
No, you asked a stupid question. You got the obvious.
You got
answer.
The appropriate answer.
I did. I also noticed that when Phil was complimenting the four of you guys, the reason why there was a lunch.
Yeah.
He said, and I quote, "This is a show that can't be replicated."
Right.
And then Adam got the big Grinch smile and puffed his chest out. No, I swear on my life, like he was the big silly getting complimented. It was so funny.
That's funny.
Oh, I didn't realize
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Adam also asked what kind of cut of steak JP got, and it was a filet. It was the most obvious cut of steak ever.
I mean, it's the most obvious steak you've ever seen in the history of the
filet.
World.
The most, filet? Yeah, the most common the most thing common. You see at a restaurant.
You see a big
like a
lump of meat,
is
you know
pretty
it's a
obvious
filet.
Too, but a filet, it's right. small, it's like heart-shaped.
What did you get? Like, I've never seen that before. What is that?
Oh, is that why you were saying it's obvious?
I'll defend him to an extent. When we were in our 20s, I'd never... At his age, I don't know that I'd ever been to, like, fancy steakhouses.
I worked at Indie Springs, so I'd seen one for 6 years.
I pretty much had been going to Sizzler.
All right. He's seen a filet before.
He's a dog.
He's just an idiot.
Well, yeah. Like yeah. I said, best version of AWOD is the one that doesn't talk.
Well, I mean, it's boring. I mean, he shouldn't have come. But he handled himself fine.
Yeah, but he added a little fodder for the show.
I guess the next Good day, time. Just from looking at him.
Yeah.
The conversation on the way back in the Uber was Jason, though, and just what a pro's pro he is. At just being in different circles, he can dip his nose.
He's a chameleon.
Impressive. I think I'm just normal.
Yeah. No, I thought he was pretty normal.
I was impressive.
If anybody is sitting across from him, you're not going to talk to him?
Yeah, but it was just the questions you asked. You're asking the right questions.
Right.
Eye contact.
Well, personal questions, like but not too personal.
I like to know backgrounds.
Did you ask him how
people.
Much he makes?
Usually, you didn't get there, but I can.
Sounds
I
like
could
a
probably,
lot.
I could probably guess.
Yeah.
But I just like to know backgrounds of people.
Sounds like he's got a lot of stock.
Been around that long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a big silly. He runs the entire market.
And for those that don't know, he runs all of the radio stations here, which include The Fan. Include El Zol,
right?
Include which is now The Drive.
Don't forget The Drive, brand new.
Right.
Missing a couple. PGC.
Yeah.
And he's relatively new to the market. I guess he's been here for 9 months?
I don't know. I feel like it's
something like
a year.
That.
But I don't know. It's not like I'm keeping track.
But he's been here part-time.
Right. But it was a nice lunch. It was a nice gesture from Phil and the company, you know.
Be another 4 years till we have another one.
Yeah, let's hope.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, it'd be nice. it was nice. I appreciated it. And it's nice, actually, when we all get together after the show and do something like that. You know, I think we were spoiled, but we did, what did we do? 24 to 30 episodes, whatever we did, of Table Manners?
Yeah, just imagine.
We were doing that all the time.
When we did
two of those.
When we did two of those, exactly. So when we did two of the Table Manners over at the Palm.
We were eating like that.
Well, those were different because I could never enjoy eating those because I knew I had to do another one right after.
Eating.
Well, no, I was always hungry for the first one.
Right.
Really hungry because we wouldn't start filming that first one until what do you think 1 o'clock?
Yeah,
right. Probably. So I was starving, famished.
Yeah,
and I would just crush it, and then you got to do it again.
Right.
Yeah,
and then I'm just feeling sick.
Yeah,
yeah.
So you're not ready to eat again.
Those were hard. Yeah. Now the money was good. Eating was hard.
I told you, I almost made my pants driving home from the prime rib one time. I had to do a quick U-turn and sprint into McDonald's and pray that the one stall was open.
Right. Well, I just remember looking at Valdez and seeing that big old smile. And I was just praying, oh, my God. Last time I saw that was at MGM when he nearly died.
Because
he got so excited and inhaled his steak that night.
Let me also point out that Rare in D.C., they do their bathrooms 1,000% right. Individual stalls.
Yeah. Great bathroom.
One toilet. No urinal. Four different individual
door.
Stalls. Locked door. Privacy.
You can do whatever you want in there.
I walked in and saw that. I said, this is a classy spot.
Yeah, that was a great
when
bathroom.
When I saw the bathroom before you dogs got there.
Great bathroom.
Very nice. We had a great time.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Eric Bickle. That is the foursome. Join us right now on the Map and Square House Hotlines, our pal Kevin McCarthy, entertainment reporter for Fox 5. Good morning, Kevin.
Ooh, got a punchy bump. It's my bad. Kevin, are you there? Hey, buddy.
JP.
Kevin.
Good morning, my friend.
Hello, sir.
Where in the world is Kevin? Are you in town?
I'm in D.C., yeah. I'm actually not traveling this weekend, which is cool. So I'm in town. So, yeah, I'm just going to hang out, and then I travel again next weekend. I'm still getting like over all the travel from like the New Zealand, and then last weekend I was with the Vegas with the Gaga show, and then it was just like the time differences are still messing with me a little bit.
I was really surprised, by the way, to see you and Lauren dressed up as Tom Cruise and Dustin Hoffman from Rain Man since you went to Vegas.
Yeah, Lauren bought a gray suit, and she wanted to recreate the escalator sequence from Rain Man, where obviously like Tom Cruise and Dustin Hoffman are coming down the escalator to go gamble.
I think what casino?
That's the Caesar's Palace. So that the escalator that they actually ride on is no longer there. So Lauren was like, "Why don't we just go to some random escalator at our hotel?" I'm like, "No. We have to go to the exact hotel to make it as accurate as we can." So like, I made us take an Uber over to Caesar's because we were at the Park MGM, and so it was really weird because we had to like ask somebody to basically take our phone and wait at the bottom of the escalator. So that, and then we would go to the top, which was the long escalator. And I mean, this person could have just taken my phone or whatever. But they were super cool about it. Like, and then we did it twice. So think about like it takes like a minute.
What a pain in the ass you are!
It took like 30 or 40 seconds just to get down and then back up. But this couple was super nice about it, and like they nailed the framing. Because what we did was we gave them Lauren's phone, and we showed them the photo. And then the person took the photo of us to match it exactly.
That is
how they
a nice couple, because I would guess most people, 99% of the people in Vegas, have a lot better things to do than to take your picture coming down the escalator twice.
Vegas is such a show, by the way. I mean, I know you guys have been before, but that was my first time ever going not for work and not for my bachelor party. It's like just going with with Lauren and just to have the weekend there and just hang out. It's unbelievably crazy. I mean, you guys know that, but it's just nuts.
Vegas is a wild town. What did you do besides the Gaga show?
Well, the Gaga show was unbelievable. I don't know if you guys saw the news of what happened at that show.
Yes, we saw Bradley Cooper.
I got to tell you guys that story. So I was Lauren and I got Lauren pit tickets for the show because
yeah, how'd you
Christmas.
Do that?
Well, I just bought them. I think
how much
I bought
did you pay?
I think they were like. I mean, they're expensive. I'm embarrassed to say, but I think they were $400 each.
Oh my god!
He's got no kids.
He had great seats.
He has no other expenses in life.
I wouldn't pay $400, but they're great seats.
Keep in mind though that those tickets are a lot more expensive now. Like we got them, I actually got them at a pretty good rate. Again, it's expensive, but it was worth it because of what happened.
I mean, your seats were so good. Was it Bradley Cooper sitting right behind you?
Yeah. So here's what happened. So basically. So we got there. The show starts at 8 o'clock, and it's 7:50-ish or so. We're hearing she's going to go on at 8:15. She's doing a 2-hour show. Apparently, she does two types of shows. The one we saw was called Enigma, which is very graphics heavy. And then there's another show she does where it's just jazz. She sits at a piano. So anyway, so it's 7:50 or so. I look behind me, and Bradley Cooper and Todd Phillips walk by. Todd Phillips directed The Hangover, Road Trip, things like that, War Dogs. So Bradley Cooper sees me. I see him. Like he turns around, says hi, and then keeps walking because he doesn't want to get stopped by the. You know, think about it this way: there's 5,000 people, and then everyone in the pit is like literally standing within 3 or 4 feet of Bradley Cooper as he's walking by. So immediately everyone turns around with their phones, starts filming him, all these things. So he sits down 2 rows behind us in like the VIP section. So essentially we're like 20 feet from him the entire show with Todd Phillips. And it was just weird because, you know, he's sitting behind you. So like I kept like wondering, how am I acting? Like, do I look ridiculous? Like, you know, it's just a strange thing. But she comes down from the ceiling when she opens the show. He's all into it. And like, I look at Lauren, I'm like, there's no way that he's going to sing, because I can't imagine him getting up in front of the crowd and doing it. But I knew she ended the show with Shallow, which was the song from A Star Is Born. So, you know, crazy enough, like right at the end of the show, she does Born This Way. And then she comes out and sits at a piano, probably about 25 feet from where we're standing, 30 feet from where we're standing. Now, keep in mind, Lauren wanted to actually stand back. I wanted to stand closer to the stage. Thankfully, we didn't, because we were basically kind of near him the whole time. And then she looks at him in the crowd and says, come on stage. And it was very, I don't think it was prepared, because when he got up there, he was having problems with his in-ears. He couldn't hear the music. He didn't really look like he knew what he was doing. And then it just, you know, the moment
was definitely set up. I mean, 100% he knew he was going to sing. Come on.
Yeah. I'm pretty naive. So I kind of like to think that I would imagine that he went to the show to see her, that there was a possibility he would sing. But if it was set up, if you watch the video, there was like a good minute on stage where they didn't know what they were doing. He didn't know what he was supposed to do. He couldn't hear the music. Gaga actually had to call out to her tech people and say, Bradley can't hear the guitars in his ear. So to me, it seemed a little, I don't know. And then, I don't know if you guys watched the video, but Bradley Cooper was like air guitaring. It was pretty wild. And then I remember like on the way out, because when a moment like that happens, you know it's going to go viral. So I thankfully was staying at the hotel, so I had Wi-Fi on my phone. So I immediately took to my phone to upload the video, and Todd Phillips walks by and like taps me on my shoulder. I didn't even look up. I didn't know who it was, and then I look at him, and he continues walking away from me, and I'm like, I just big-timed Todd Phillips because I'm trying to upload this video. And it went viral. I think it got like 3 or 4 million views.
That's crazy.
That's sick.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Dude, at one point in the show, midway through, he gets up to go to the bathroom, Bradley Cooper, and it was nice enough to like come over and say hi. Now, the crazy part was, ironically enough, I was wearing a T-shirt that had his character from A Star Is Born on it, and I was wearing the jacket the character wears in the movie, because Lauren and I did a Halloween costume.
Such a nerd!
I know. Such a nerd. But Lauren and I did a Halloween costume in October for the Star Is Born movie, so I just happened to have the jacket. I'm like, I'll go to the show wearing, you know, the Jackson Maine jacket, and you know, it'll be cool. Like, maybe someone will.
Did you have the matching belt?
No, I did not have the belt. It was crazy. It was an absolutely crazy thing, and I saw David Copperfield, which was amazing because he was like a hero of mine when I was a kid. It was awesome. It was a crazy experience.
You enjoyed Vegas. I just realized, by the way, that Kevin, when we were growing up, and probably into our 20s, there was a movie reviewer that used to go on NBC who was a wackadoo. I think his name was Gene Shalit. Kevin is going to eventually become
that wacky guy with the wacky hair.
Maybe not the hair.
He's mostly there already.
Yeah, he pretty much is. But he's young. He's got youth and exuberance. But all these movie stars he's dealt with. Because how many times have you interviewed Bradley Cooper?
Bradley Cooper, 6 or 7 times.
Right, like, they recognize Kevin at this point, and as it continues, it'll be 15 times, it'll be 20 times. You know, there'll be a point in his career where he's interviewed 25 times.
Well, they'll reach
times.
A point, though, when, so say that the 20th time you interview Bradley Cooper, you're going to ask him for a selfie, like, every time?
I think that's slowed down.
Isn't that a little embarrassing?
I don't do a lot of pictures like that anymore. I mean, the thing is, though, when I was, you have to understand, like, when you're meeting these people for the first time, but even if it's someone like a Spielberg or something like that, like, you don't know that you're ever going to talk to them ever again. Like Angelina Jolie, when I interviewed her earlier in my career, for 3 times for these 3 movies, I haven't interviewed her in 5 or 6 years. So, like, that's the thing. You never know when you go into a room with an actor.
You don't need to get defensive. We took a picture with a comedian on Friday. I don't even remember his name.
Oh, no. But I understand where you're coming from, though.
Santino. There you go.
Yeah, you had to think about that.
Well, for a second.
Cheeto Santino. Yes. That's right.
No, we take pictures of people that come in here.
Right.
that's different.
But I mean, Eric, if you interviewed, I don't know, I'm trying to think. Let's say you interviewed like Tom Brady, right?
Yeah.
Like two or three times.
Yeah.
Would you get a selfie with him?
I probably wouldn't feel comfortable doing that. I might ask if he could take a picture with us afterwards and have Valdez take one.
Well, yeah, I think I'd want my own picture though.
It's the same type of thing.
It's fine. It's just that Kevin introduced these guys like 20 times. Yeah. He's constantly asking for selfies.
All right, we only have a couple minutes.
You saw
a movie on Netflix with Jake Gyllenhaal. That's Velvet Buzzsaw.
Yeah,
tell us about that if that's worth seeing. I know that you're watching the Bundy tapes, which Jason's watching.
Yes.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about that too,
I'm
Jason.
I'm on episode two.
And you know what? Why don't you start with Miss Bala because that's out at the box office. I got to believe it's terrible, but give us just a brief plot summary and your rating.
It's not terrible. Gina Rodriguez is actually really great in it, but it's a remake of a 2011 film with the same title. And yeah, essentially her character goes from L.A. to Tijuana, Mexico to help a friend of hers in a beauty pageant. They end up getting kidnapped, and she has to try and escape, essentially is the idea. But then there's a lot more layered elements to it. She kind of falls a little bit romantically with the kidnapper, and that whole thing becomes an interesting element because the kidnapper is actually a bit layered and not just a good or bad person. So I give it a 3. I mean, she's amazing. She's a 5 out of 5 in it, but the movie itself, script-wise, a little bit weak at times, but I give that a 3 out of 5. But
all right,
you mentioned Jake Gyllenhaal movie, because Jason, I want to get to the Ted Bundy stuff with you, but the Jake Gyllenhaal movie, did you guys ever see a movie, Jason, you saw it, called Nightcrawler with Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yeah, I saw it too.
I actually liked it, yeah.
It was awesome. So yeah. Nightcrawler was the one, for people who don't know, essentially Gyllenhaal's character would go out and cause actual crime scenes and then film them and sell them to news organizations. It was pretty wild. So this is the same director. And Rene Russo's back as well. Now, this one's pretty out there, and try and stick with me because it's kind of strange. But basically, an artist, Gyllenhaal's character is an art critic, and an artist dies and requests that all of his paintings be destroyed, but that doesn't happen. But somehow these paintings have some type of evil element inside of them because they were painted with certain aspects of people's blood. It's pretty wild. So they start selling these paintings, showing them off at different art shows, and anybody who's been involved in showing them or selling them is dying off in very disturbing, gruesome ways. And Toni Collette's in the film. It's definitely out there. There's a satire element to it. There's a horror element to it. Is it good? It's very good and intriguing. It's a little bit long, a little slow at times, but these death scenes are very out there and very weird, so you kind of get pulled back in when these sequences are happening. They're very intense. Gyllenhaal is one of the greatest actors of our time, and that guy has
an
amazing range. It's good. But because it's on Netflix, I do recommend seeing it. I gave it a 3.5. It's definitely available streaming now. If you watch it, you'll go, that's pretty good. I actually enjoyed that. I don't think you would, if you went to the theater and spent money on it, you'd be extremely happy with that aspect. But I think watching it at home, it actually worked. I enjoyed it. It was intriguing.
Did you see Arctic yet?
No, I have not. I have not seen that yet.
All right. It's about a guy whose plane crashes in the middle of Arctic, and he's
bitter.
He's very bitter.
Yeah, of course he is.
But he has to decide whether he stays at the airplane and hope to get rescued, or he starts walking to find help.
I'd stay at the airplane. No chance we're just going to start walking.
Anyway.
I haven't seen it.
Well, it's a movie, Richard. Yeah.
Jason, the Ted Bundy documentary.
Yeah.
I have 35 minutes left in episode 4.
You're way ahead of me.
It is so intriguing. Anybody out there who's listening who hasn't started watching it yet, it's 4 episodes. I know that people were wondering about the Zac Efron movie coming out, that he's playing Ted Bundy. It's the same director. So the gentleman who directed the documentary also directed the movie that Zac Efron's playing Ted Bundy in. The documentary is unbelievable. I mean, it is
it's really good.
So intriguing. And I mean, the thing is about this, I didn't know as much about the Ted Bundy trials and cases. I just knew he was a serial killer, but I had no idea that there was this crazy intrigue about him, that he was this like extremely quote unquote likable type person, in the sense of that he put on a front that made him appear to be someone who could not be a serial killer.
Right.
And there are times in this movie, the documentary specifically, where they're interviewing women who are saying, while he's on trial, that are saying he's intriguing, he's good looking, and it's just the weirdest thing, considering we know what he did, to hear people talk about him in that way. And when you, Jason, when you get to episode 4, man, wait till you see the way he acts in the courtroom. He takes over, right. Put on a show, he's smiling.
Did he defend himself?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So they gave him like 4 attorneys, and he gets up there. He starts cross-examining people that are dealing with his own crime scenes. It is the weirdest. I've never seen a show like that happen in a courtroom for something that serious, yet it felt the news organizations were like playing it up like it was an entertaining thing, and this guy was doing such horrible things, obviously. So that I think the film, people are criticizing the documentary and now the movie for quote-unquote romanticizing or making Ted Bundy likable. That was the entire point, was that he was not somebody you could think that would do something like this. He was a mild-mannered, you know, lawyer or law student. So it was a very strange thing, because you're watching it and you feel this interesting weird thing, and then you feel disgusted at the same time. So it's a very weird thing to watch. I'm kind of like in the middle of like this emotional thing going through. It's pretty wild.
All right, man, we got to run. He gives Miss Bala a 3, Velvet Buzzsaw on Netflix a 3.5. Thanks, pal.
Thank you, Kevin.
See you, Kevin.
Appreciate it,
buddy. I love you guys.
Yeah,
all
follow
right.
him on
love
Twitter,
you,
Kevin. At Kevin McCarthy TV to see all of his reenactments. All right, let's open up the Junkie Sports page. Fill us in on what's going on in the sports world. It is a Football Friday, brought to you by the one and only sportsbook at Hollywood Casino.
Gee, I wonder
Charlestown Racing.
I wonder if they're going to be busy over the weekend.
Oh, wait,
did you know that?
I forgot about you.
I did not know.
It's been a
while. How are you?
How's our guy Jim Van Stone? And he has a box.
He, of course, is the president of Business Ops.
See,
at Monumental Sports and Entertainment.
He of little faith, Eric Bickle.
Yeah,
yesterday or the day before. I don't know.
I said yesterday multiple times we're not getting them. I didn't have faith.
Wow. I got to tell you, you know what? We've been working with Matt nonstop.
Hold on. We got to get the mic on.
Get it here. Tuck it in.
Let's get him a seat.
We've been working with Matt and CK nonstop on doing this. You guys have the greatest December that I've ever seen. The four of you don't work together in the entire month of December. So, you know, and then all of a sudden it hit after the first of the year, and we had our NBA marketing meetings. We took the Wizards to London. So
of course,
it's been crazy on that front. But thanks for having us out today.
Oh, no.
We appreciate
it. We did not think it was going to happen.
I just told Drabby I'm punched out. I
had the faith. I said, look, just take a little extra time.
Yeah.
But I have confidence in the Capitals. They've been nothing but amazing to us. Yeah, through the whole cup run and being in the parade. Like, trust, we knew we had no business being in the parade, but we're more than thrilled to participate in it and be a part of it. So,
well, like we told you guys before, we feel that you guys are part of the team. You give us so much support. And, you know, it was quite an honor to have you guys be a part of this whole process. So we appreciate it.
I feel like such an idiot for saying that. I didn't, I was telling buddies last night at dinner, yeah, we're not getting them.
Right.
I said they scammed us. I said they can't scam
so,
us.
Right.
You guys know there's a guy on our staff who runs our finance who really coordinated everything from all the rings to the cupping in town, a guy named Keith Burrows, who's a phenomenal, amazing guy. He had these delivered to Hunter and I think it was probably around the last week in November, first week in December. Wow. And then we reached out to the guys and we're like, hey, we're ready to go. And they're like, well, you know what? We got to wait till everyone's together. And then all of a sudden, the next thing you know,
so we
it's after the New Year's.
The
and then
show.
Oh, all right.
And
all right.
It didn't happen during the drinking show.
They probably think we wouldn't have been
drinking. Probably better. That show's way too chaotic.
Well,
yeah.
I decided.
Yeah, this is really high level.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
This is, you know, the top of the heap.
Yes.
So it's good that we're all sober for this
It's so nice. I had decided that, listen, we understand how insignificant we are. That we're so insignificant that they just forgot, don't care. Or the outrage was so great that they didn't get. But there was no scenario where it was actually going to happen.
There's no way that they could get bullied by the horn guy.
Yeah, no outrage at all. I mean, you know what? I've been in sports 30 years, and I think the way this market has responded has been absolutely tremendous. And a lot of it goes
really
to
special.
Ted Leonsis, our chairman and founder. I mean, Ted is the absolute best, and you know, he wanted the entire community to really participate in this. And it's funny, we talk Hunter, Darren, Hunter runs marketing, Darren runs sales for us, and you know, it's interesting. You win a lot of trophies in other sports and championships. You had that trophy forever. the Stanley Cup is one of a kind, and you have it for basically 100 days. So we tried to maximize those 100 days and, you know, take it all over the greater Washington region. But the rings are something that we keep forever, which is fantastic on our end. So
this is absurd.
This is pretty good. You guys deserve this.
I can't believe it.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm starting to get a little choked up.
That's good. You know, and then what we've got for you guys.
This might change my entire weekend. What am I
going to
do?
The one thing we got for you guys is your certificates of authenticity. You know,
from,
from an insurance standpoint, I think from a commemorative standpoint, it'll give you a little background on the history of the rings and you know, everything was put together.
By the way, Case is going to the game tonight, right?
No, I'm going. Thank you to Jim for securing the tickets for the Florida Panthers game next weekend.
Oh, so you know what? I think the credit goes to the marketing and sales guys on that. And Darren runs all of our ticket sales, probably the most popular guy in the greater D.C. area over the last year. And Hunter and Amanda Tischler run all of our marketing. So, you know, it's been a banner year for us, and our sellout streak continues. And, you know, internally, you know, as you guys know, we're Monumental Sports and Entertainment. And, you know, TED Talk's always about us being monumental in this community with all of our teams and properties. So, you know, this is quite an honor for us. It's been great.
This is big.
I mean, we had a big lunch yesterday, and now we're getting our ring.
Where'd you guys go?
I almost fell out of my chair.
Rare. Oh, good spot.
I'm sure you've been
spot.
There a lot.
Yeah,
all right,
so absolutely.
What should we do?
All right, I got
almost fell out of my chair.
We got to get Matt to do a drum roll or something like that. I feel like this has been so long.
Hold up. Jason wants to.
I almost fell out of my chair when I looked at the estimated replacement value.
It's a good one. Please don't share that, but it's pretty impressive on that side.
I don't want to be tainted.
Well, I'm going to open this incredible Stanley Cup box that we have, and then inside is these four fantastic rings. So, and I'll give each of you guys your ring, Cakes.
Johnny Cakes, here you go.
Thank you very much. This is just much, remarkable. Much appreciated, obviously.
Is this the craziest thing that's ever happened to us? Thank you, Jim. You're too
got
kind.
It.
Don't
JP.
Open it yet, Cakes.
Let's do it together.
Thank
this
you, sir.
Nutty.
Thank you, Jim Van Stone. Thank you, Ted. Thank you, Peter Bonder. Thank you, Hunter. Thank you, Darren.
Thank you, Obi. Thank you,
Obi. Yeah, exactly. Those guys made it all happen.
Thank you, Jay Beagle.
Yeah. All right, Jim, what should we do? Should we, like, on the count of three, should we open it?
Yeah, why don't we do it? One, two,
I already opened it. Money.
Three, go.
Oh, my God.
That's amazing.
All right, now this is the fun part. We've gotten rings for a lot of people. I got to make sure they fit. So I think we did a wonderful job.
What finger are you supposed to put it on?
I don't remember what hand you're supposed to put it on.
Think of the right.
Probably the one you got signed for.
Ring finger.
Right-hand ring.
Wow. That is crazy. I need my reading glasses.
They look like they fit perfectly to me.
Yeah, this fits great. Man.
Oh, dude, it actually...
Oh, I wonder if I'm going to wear this to the Caps game. Next weekend.
Too kind. Derek,
you guys are the best.
Thank you so much. Yes. I mean, you are too kind.
Beyond, we appreciate it.
You know, anything we'd ever imagine.
And we will wear this. I will wear this when we're out and about.
Yeah.
100%. So people could see it, enjoy
it. This is beautiful.
Right?
It's great. How crazy is that? It's great. Some good memories, I think, over the course of last year. So your names are on the side of them.
I'm very
there's a lot of great representation.
Last name instead of Cakes. Solid move on my part.
Yeah, it was very good. Junkies, but this is much better.
Yeah. Look classier.
Yeah, it does look classy.
Yeah.
Jim, where do you wear yours? Do you wear yours to the games?
Like, you know, we've done a lot of special events, so I've worn it at special events. I've worn it to a couple games, especially weddings, popular. You know,
I'm going to wear it on the show.
You guys should wear it on the show.
I'm going to wear it. I'm going to wear it in here.
This thing's heavy.
It is heavy.
weighing my hand down.
I think Hunter had a great idea.
Well, not to be outdone. The hardworking guys over here. Everyone's going to get the replica. Everyone's going to get the replica Stanley Cup and the commemorative coffee table book.
Okay, nice.
Thank you, fellas.
Yes.
Nice. No, thank you very much. Thank you to CK, because I know CK behind the scenes kind of lobbied for us and always stands up for us.
Yep.
You know, he is. Which is very cool. Best guy out there, CK. He's a great partner of ours in... You know, it's great to have all of our games broadcasted on your network. And, you know, I think all of our great partnership with NBC Sports Washington really brings us together as a big family.
Well, that is just insane, Case.
Yeah.
I don't even know. I'm speechless.
Cats come through. Yeah. I knew they were going to come through.
We appreciate it.
The last thing we expected today.
Yeah.
Good.
Oh,
good.
My God.
You know what? You guys sat on it for a while.
We did an amazing job.
No leaks. I had no idea that, you know, all the Caps execs were here this morning.
Right.
Nice surprise.
These guys kept it quiet.
Yeah, these guys organized it pretty well. Yeah.
They did a great job. I went over to go get a Pop-Tart during the break. They're like, get back in here. What's the big deal?
About 10 minutes ago, Eric said,
I don't know what's going to get me through the rest of the show today.
It's true. I'm sure. Is Jason bitter? We bum rush his sports page.
That's great.
Two steps, Porzingis.
Yeah, I think it's okay.
This is really heavy. Yeah. Right?
It's the real deal. It's the real deal.
Yeah.
So and they look perfect on your fingers. Hopefully, knock on wood. A lot more to come for us as an organization.
I gotta go.
That would be incredible.
Yeah.
Weekend plans have probably changed.
You know, I don't think a lot of people know this. Just about our organization, we had every one of our teams make the playoffs last year, which, you know, I don't think there's another organization that has had that type of success. And
you're,
you know,
including the Valor.
I'm including the Valor, and you know what, you guys need to join us. We're going to be raising the Valor banner for their season opener, and I would love to have you guys out for that. And
cool. That's cool.
You know, the other thing we're going to celebrate,
have an esports team too, right?
We do. Our esports team made the playoffs last year. They were phenomenal in the NBA 2K league. And
what kind of attendance does that get? Are people,
you know, actually it's more of the viewership. So we actually broadcast it through the NBA on Twitch, and
gotcha.
Viewership numbers have been amazing. That would be a fun thing to do and to coordinate with the guys. We would love to bring our 2K team over here and have you guys play the guys on 2K. That'd be a blast to check out. I mean,
I'd love to do
that. Know, it's an emerging sport with esports.
I was happy. I lost my son the other day in NBA 2K. I don't think we have 18 or
who's your rock? Do you have like a rock star on that team? Like you one know, guy that's better than the other?
We've got two guys that they're completely different. It's 5-on-5. So, you know, JT is our point guard, does an amazing job. One of the best in the league from that standpoint. We got another guy who's one of our big guys, Day Fry. You know, fantastic. We ended up bringing those guys over. This is how big this esports phenomenon has grown. We ended up bringing them over to London with the Wizards, along with the Mystics, and we did a matchup. They played a half a game of 2K against the West Ham United from the Premier League, their FIFA team, and then we played a half game of FIFA. So it's fun. I mean, it's exploding.
Well, I said this. You know, I did been that great. Sports Reporters podcast. Remember, my parting shot was that they had a draft on NBA TV with Adam Silver introducing, and it looked like a legit draft. And I watched, and then they, you know, the first pick in the draft was. No offense, kind of like a chubby guy.
Well, we look at these guys as, you know what? I mean, we look at them as athletes. Those guys play and practice literally, you know, 10 to 12 hours a day. It's amazing their commitment to doing it and getting better. And
you gotta grind.
We had a great guy. They have to grind it. Yeah. I mean, you know, these guys, you know, and it's funny, you guys were probably talking earlier about, you know, the word tank and stuff like that in professional sports. These guys are the greatest athletes in their respective sports. There is no way, you know, male or female, that anyone's going to be doing that stuff. They're playing hard every single night in every competitive 100%. Game. You know, they're the best at it. So it's good. I mean, it's been fun for us. And, you know, esports is great.
For the second half of the season with the Washington Capitals, we've been talking about it. 7-game slide.
Yep.
All-star break. We had Coach Reardon on the show.
Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah. And,
I think it was Wednesday, actually.
Got to get going tonight, Jim.
We'll get going. We've got a lot of home games. I think Darren said we've got almost 6 games in 10 days, give or take. I mean, so it's a crazy run. Our guys will be great. I mean, it's good these all-star breaks come in handy both on the NBA and NHL side. Get them some rest, and let's get geared up for the push.
I got a good vibe about tonight, KC. I got a good vibe about beating the Flames tonight.
I kind of have that tingle too, but that usually means you want to fade me.
Well, you stay away. I'll do it.
Get the win against Calgary tonight.
All right, Jim, you've been great to us. We do need to thank Hunter Lockman. He's the VP of marketing, and Darren, who's the VP of sales.
Darren runs all our tickets.
Thank you. We couldn't be more, I don't know.
I'm blown away.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
By it all. Thank you.
Too kind.
Enjoy it. Thanks for being part of our incredible run here, and you know, let's make it to the playoffs and get it done the rest of the way.
And we will rock these proudly, I promise.
Absolutely.
I promise you that.
Awesome.
Jim, are we the last four people getting
I will say, you know what? It's funny. I had this conversation with CK. I mean, you guys are the last four that were in our office locked up. And I'm like, you know, I'm telling you, if this job in sales and marketing doesn't work out for the three of us, I mean, we're going to become interns in the radio show business. So I love that December that you guys have. So
appreciate it.
Thank you, boys.
So anyway, spread the word. 910 The Fan in Richmond. And you know what? We're happy that we've been on in Norfolk now for a week.
Yeah, it's been
very
cool.
They haven't bumped this up. I think we lasted in Houston. We were syndicated from 1999 through 2002 for 3 years on Westwood One at night.
Yeah,
and we were on various markets, some big ones like Detroit, San Francisco. We were on in Houston, I think, for a few days.
No, it was longer than that, but they were up. I'll never forget. They were the station that complained when we talked about MJ coming back.
Yeah. It, I mean, that was a national story. Right. But it was also huge because it was coming back to the Wizards.
And it happened here.
Yeah.
In our backyard.
And that was the issue. That's why this is such a cool deal. We have some plans, hopefully, for some other, you know, markets in this area. Hopefully, maybe someday down the road. Nothing's going to change here. When we were nationally syndicated, you had to cater to. We were on in New York for several months before we said, we just can't, we don't want to do it. It was too much work. The New York only wanted to talk about the Yankees, the Mets. That's all they cared about. And then when you were on in Houston, they wanted you to talk about, at that time, I think Randy Johnson was pitching there or whatever. They wanted to hear about the Astros. And you're on in San Francisco, they wanted to hear you talk about the Niners.
Couldn't please anybody.
You know, Kansas City was a huge market for us.
I remember two things. We did the show.
It's a pain in the ass.
It was a place that had pool tables. We did like a live show. It might have been a Hard Times Cafe. I don't remember. But that's the day that we did the show about Jordan. And I just remember Jason just talking about how Jordan was going to be the best.
He's going to turn it around.
Just discovering talent.
Yep.
And just who everybody's going to want to play with Michael Jordan. And it was same old Wizards.
Yeah, but
I mean,
still,
they couldn't even win with Michael Jordan.
But you know what? Those were fun years.
Oh, yeah.
Those were a couple fun years.
Yes. Yeah.
And actually, uber impressive.
What
if
a
you look
huge
at his
story
numbers,
that was.
What he did when he came back. But this was just coming back as the executive. Jason just assumed he was going to be the best basketball mind. He was going to be able to figure out who was deserving as the number one
it's
pick.
It's rare that the
and
great
he picked
ones are.
Kwame Brown.
He did. He took Kwame.
A guy who walked around with, look, was it French dressing?
French dressing, yes.
Yeah. Everywhere he went, he walked around with
hey,
French dressing.
He knows
dressing.
What he likes, that Kwame Brown.
But then, yeah, then the next day, Houston was upset that we didn't talk about the Astros.
No, that wasn't after that one. It was when he was coming back as a player. Yeah.
Okay. I might be conflating him. I don't
know. Yeah. Because that was, he came back as a player.
Either way,
99-2000.
To me, and you might be accurate, it feels like we've been on in Norfolk longer than Houston. I'm
already?
Telling you, that was a blink of an eye.
The one that was a real blink of an eye, Minnesota. That one didn't last very long.
Minneapolis.
That's like a show.
Minneapolis. It didn't last very long. Don't know
why.
Well,
we didn't talk about any of the Vikings games.
They heard us do doo-doo Browns and said, you're finished.
But that's what's so cool about this. This is just like regional markets where they're naturally interested to what we already talk about. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I mean, there are some people. There's some guy on Twitter. It's just like one guy, like, bitter that we're not going to be talking about the flying squirrels. I mean, we're just probably not going to talk about.
Maybe if they get a big win.
I think it's a minor league baseball team.
Maybe if they win a championship or something, we give a mention, but come on.
Well, I mean, we don't talk minor league baseball about the local teams here.
Right.
Here's what
we don't talk Potomac Nationals.
No.
I'm not going to promise any topic. I'm going to promise it will entertain you. That's the only thing I can promise. I'm not promising a topic, right? Go F yourself. All right. Yeah,
but thank you for listening, Norm.
Yes, we appreciate it.
I want you to listen, but if you're going to be real douchey about it, then don't.
We will.
Okay.
We will get Jeff Jones on.
I have given up on.
Well, we've had him on for 25 years.
By the way, big win for ODU last night, beating North Texas, who was leading the Conference USA.
Did you have cash on it?
I did not.
So they now tied atop?
But I sent a little congratulatory text to Jeff Jones. He said, thank you very much. They got another big one this weekend. I got to see who they play this weekend. But that's a good win for them.
All right. So we talked about Maroon 5. They're going to, of course, take the center stage as a featured actor in Super Bowl 53. We have some prop bets here. Now, these are more sort of like related to the performances here with the halftime show, et cetera. Last year, Justin Timberlake performed. He did 11 songs, Cakes. I believe that set the record.
That's a lot.
Right?
All right, let's get into the props.
The number this year is 7.5, okay?
I don't know what to compare that to. You said two years ago,
Lady Gaga only had time for 7 songs.
Okay.
Let me see. Kid Rock and Nelly back in 2004 got to double digits.
So is it Maroon 5 songs or is it total songs? Because I think that he's performing with Travis Scott and Big Boy.
I think the number I see is total number of songs.
Okay.
That includes
all the
other acts.
Okay.
Okay. Now, there's also money on what song's going to be played first. Okay.
All right.
One More Night is apparently the favorite. So they're plus 300. So you bet 100 to win 300.
Well, on my site,
this is the first song played?
Yes.
On my site, What Lovers Do is the overwhelming favorite, minus 125.
Yeah, I don't have that on this one.
One More Night's way down the list, plus 1,000 on my site.
Yeah, I have it for plus. I also have Makes Me Wonder at plus 500, Sugar at plus 550. So I don't know what site they're getting this from.
So right now I've got What Lovers Do, Moves Like Jagger plus 900, Sugar plus 1,000, Payphone plus 1,200.
Payphone is
Think about all the hits.
I love that.
She Will Be Loved plus 1,800.
Just play something. Which one would you do as your opener if you're Maroon 5?
This is What Lovers Do.
Oh, I was just thinking about this. Jason, I know you love your daughters, but of all the junkies who probably should have had a son, yesterday, my son, you know, is big into like fantasy sports and things like that.
Yeah, there we go.
Like, I actually, we have a notebook, and he's done this for like 4 or 5 years. I can look back at like notebooks 5 years ago where you're picking every NFL game, picking all the college games. But since there's only one game, and usually we do 5 games a week or something like that, we just said, let's do the prop bets. And we had like on the web, like the prop bets. Like, Jason, you know what? Adopt. Just adopt a boy.
No.
Your daughters might get into it. Your daughter does
some of that stuff. Could do it, but it doesn't seem like he's
sure
introduced
he's adopt a boy so he can bond with
I don't want a boy that bad.
No, but some of your
that might
your
be the dumbest
be
suggestion ever.
Stuff. You don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not being totally serious.
I know. I'm not going to adopt. I'm fine. My daughters won't have any interest in the prop bets.
None. None whatsoever.
They'll want to watch the game. Of course, watch Maroon 5 and the halftime stuff.
But just a little prodigy.
I'll be live betting.
Yes, you will.
Play
I
a couple
be.
Other Maroon 5 songs. I just
play
get sized.
Payphone. I get butt sized.
I think, hope they play honestly, it. I think I like every one of their songs. I'm sorry.
And I mean, getting, all they do is crank out hits.
People trash them. I guess because they're too popular and it's just too poppy. And
you know
whatever.
Personally, I'm not that into them.
I saw them in concert them. I recognize with Amy about 4 years ago at Cap One. All they did was played all the hits and everybody was entertained for 90 minutes.
How could you not be entertained?
Of course you were.
Just if you're not into this type of music.
What, good music?
Right. Smash hits?
Hits.
Just butt-catchy music? If you're not into butt-catchy
like,
music,
you
I guess
like
you won't like
hits.
It.
What?
You
don't like all hits?
I pretty much do like most hits. I pretty much like most hits.
I'm lukewarm on Maroon 5, to be honest with you.
You are?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not me, man.
I mean, I know it's popular as ever, but I just want to know what the first song's going to be. That's what I need
to know. If I were Jonah Hill and I were tight with Adam, I'd be like, hey.
What is their
I know he's rich. This is one of them. This is relatively recent.
That was Cardi B.
But if I'm Jonah Hill, I'm calling Adam Levine and say, look, I've got a ton of money already, but why don't you tell me what the first song you're going to do is?
But
I'm
going to
place
right.
a large wager.
Drabby's right, though. The props are all limited. You can't just, you know.
Yeah, they're only like $500 caps.
Yeah. You can't bankrupt
That's
them.
Not much for Jonah Hill.
Remember,
but I'm going to put $10 minimum on like 5 songs.
Oh, you are. You're going to spread it out.
And I'm not going to do what Lovers Do because that's -125. There's no point.
I think.
I'm going to hope
that's
what
are the odds on Payphone?
Payphone is.
For the first song.
+1,200.
What is their most recent hit? Their most recent hit is one with Cardi B. Well, they can't trot out Cardi B on the first song. So that's not going to be it. Right?
What's Moves Like Jagger? I bet you that's the first
one. That might
be. Is that their biggest hit?
That's
the biggest hit with the most YouTube views.
That's their biggest hit, and it's instantly recognizable.
+900.
Play that one.
No, that's a big closer song.
They have plenty of closing.
Yeah, they're not closing. They're handing it off.
What's harder to breathe? That's the second favorite on this list on my site.
They just have so many silly cakes.
+250.
I know. I've seen them live. They're very good.
Butt sized.
That's hard.
I mean, it's just
that's
starting with that.
Ever.
And then all the dogs are going to run to the 50-yard line with their signs, and they're going to have the lights turned down.
I remember the
glow sticks
when Maroon 5 were just like starting to break big. They played the infield at Preakness, and I saw them on the bill. I was like, they're going to be up there with a bunch of like real rock acts, and the crowd's going to hate them. But, I mean, now they're international superstars.
Do people not like them because Adam Levine or whatever has got that high voice?
I don't know.
They think it's kind of effeminate or something?
I mean, it just depends on your personal taste. Like, I like more of the hard rock versus this.
Like catchy sillies.
I don't think they're just that much. They're that popular with males. I think that's why there's a lot of backlash.
Because why? Because he's got like kind of a high,
just
voice.
Kind of weak pop. Yeah, I don't know. I think people would rather see Foo Fighters or Metallica.
Right. It feels
like
effeminate.
That.
Oh, I would rather see
the
them
NFL
over Metallica.
Looking for, they're looking
well,
for
you're
mass
more
appeal.
Effeminate than everyone else. So it was perfect for you.
Yeah. Probably true.
Maroon 5 definitely a girl band.
This is I got to bet on this. This is going to be the first song.
Plus 900.
I'm willing to call it my lock of the Super Bowl.
I actually think it sounds like something that would start off with that.
Makes a ton of sense.
It's got a hook right at the beginning.
I mean, I keep asking you to play payphone. You just won't help me out.
It's instantly recognizable.
It's got to be something that has a long intro because they're right.
Got it. That's what I'm saying. Running on the field.
Yeah. You've got to have time for them to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You nailed it. We could direct the halftime.
Yeah, all the moms with the signs and everything.
All right, play payphone.
Thank you.
Let's see how much time it has. Intro time.
It comes in with a vocal. Right with a vocal. Boom.
Podcasters. Right,
all right, what's not going to be payphone then?
Segment. Yeah, but it's silly. It's a good tune. You kind of snooze on it.
Let's see. So you are convinced, Valdez, it's going to be Moves Like Jagger.
So good.
It just doesn't have the...
You can't start the set with this.
Moves Like Jagger.
This is part of a medley.
Yeah, but it's real good.
This is in the medley portion.
They're all great.
Great tune.
You won't find a bad Maroon 5 song. You won't find a bad Maroon 5 song. Can't do it.
I'd be like trying to find a flaw in this amazing ring the Capitals gave us today. I don't see one.
Who's trying to find a flaw?
I'm saying it would be akin to that.
That's my Super Bowl lock of the century.
Hey, by the way, A-Wad wants to rent the ring, and I'm willing to do it. You realize it has my name on it. He doesn't care.
Yeah, he's too stupid.
Just go with, along with my lie that I'm one of the junkies. Right.
He can rent it.
He's living a lie.
He can rent mine for $12,000.
Yes. I wonder why you picked that number.
You came up with a number somehow.
An interesting number that you came up with.
Just what it's worth to me.
Yeah. Right.
It's the number I put to
it. So let me see. Are there any other Super Bowl props, Jason, that you want to throw out there? Let me see.
Like novelties or just regular?
It's kind of like...
Well, here's the entertainment.
All right. The anthem one.
The anthem, national anthem. Well, hold on a second. Mine says 107 seconds. 107 and a half seconds.
Which is
I thought we,
a minute 47.
A minute 47 is what I see.
That's a minute 47, right?
Yeah.
Now, I think that she performed it a few years ago. She did it in a minute 32.
Kelly Clarkson did it in 1:34. That's kind of racing, though.
Hey, did you ever put my Gladys Knight kneeling bet in?
No, he wouldn't take that.
Okay.
Because he said he couldn't find it anywhere.
Did you show him the site?
I did. I sent a picture of him, but he just wasn't sized.
All right.
I think he knew he wasn't going to win that.
Right.
All right, real quick, I know
because it's not even offered on my site.
Let's go to David in Reston. David, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks. David, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, my friends?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Houston. My son-in-law is from Houston. He plays for the Toronto Blue Jays. He's a minor leaguer.
Nice.
You should look him up, man. Nick Hartman.
All right.
He's going to be one of the best pitchers. You look at his slider.
Hey, Lurch.
What's his name? Nick Hartman.
Nick Hartman.
Okay.
Good luck to him, man. What else?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Hey, Lurchy.
Yes.
Talking about your daughter going to school.
Yes, sir.
That's what my daughter did. She went to ODU, the Norfolk thing, and met this guy at school. I have two grandsons now. Grandson and granddaughter.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's brutal. It's brutal when they go to school.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to it.
JP seems like he's dealing with it fine. Cakes is dealing with it fine.
It's definitely emotional.
I mean, it takes some getting used to. For sure, but you're dealing with it fine. Yeah, I'm not saying you're not.
I'm okay. I'm not a big gooey mess in here.
And Cakes' kid's only going to school 20 minutes away from his house.
Yeah, but he's not like he's seeing him every day, though.
Yeah, but he could if he wanted to.
Yeah, but no kid wants that. Nobody in the world wants it.
I mean, think about when you were in college. I went to Maryland. I didn't go see my mom, dad every day.
I know. It's about what your parents want.
No.
If your parents are good parents, they want you to figure it out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm not saying I'm going to go see her every weekend, but I want her to be close enough where if I want to, I can get there. Yeah. I don't have to go to the airport.
It's convenient. It's nice.
Airport's easy. I'm going to be doing an airport bit.
No, it ain't easy.
Yeah,
everything
not
takes
easy.
Everything takes forever.
There's nothing easy about an airport.
Takes forever. Delays, cancellation. It's just a nightmare.
Louisville's a small airport, man. You literally could show up. You could do a JP. You could show up about a half hour before the flight, and you'd be fine.
Perfect.
You'll walk right in. No security.
Well, now you have the pass anyway.
I got the TSA silly. I got the whole.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.